everybody. And say your name of me.
That was a weird intro.
I thought I'd switch it up. I'm like, hey, everybody, say your name of me. I'm so Slim. But switch it up a bit. I'm Slim.
It's Monty back at him.
You already know. Coming at you with some more MMA news, MMA coverage, some breakdowns, all them shenanigans.
All right.
I just ate some wings and pasta. You know what?
Give us your live review.
They were actually really good. But you know what I was thinking? I was sitting there at the bar waiting for my order to be picked up. And I seen two guys at the end of the bar. And I overheard them talking about sports.
Okay.
They're just talking about like, yeah, well, if this guy can do this and this guy can do that. And it made me think back to almost 2 years ago now. Whoa, it's me. It made me think back to almost 2 years ago now when we were sitting in the end of the Gatsby's bar talking about what we want to do for a podcast.
You mean Johnny J's?
No.
Gatsby's?
Yeah, not Gatsby's. What the fuck? Wherever you worked downtown.
Barley House.
Barley House, yeah. Gatsby's? We're at the strip club.
Never even been there.
Titties in our face. And but yeah, it just made me think about that.
Yeah, we've came a long way.
For sure. The old times. Anyway. So, so we only got short time to record, and then we got to go to the main show, so let's get right to it.
And
we
my dad has some spaghetti cooking. That's where I'm going.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
We had some extraordinary fight card this weekend.
Yes.
One of the best fight cards of the year, hands down. And it was UFC 231, Holloway versus Ortega.
It was a good one.
It was a fantastic card. I wish I could have watched more of it. I watched, but I was rapping, tearing up the stage, tearing up the gyro, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was fun.
I was DJing for you.
Yeah, till everything went south.
Oh, let's focus on the good stuff.
All right. Well, it was fun. Sean played cunt, and I didn't expect that at all.
Sean has a song called cunt?
That was when he started screaming.
Oh, nice.
That was from his old band. And Chance went hammer. Did you see him? He just comes out. I didn't even know he was standing there. He just comes out of the woodwork, just throwing bows. I was like, yo.
Chance stage dove.
Did he? To who?
You don't remember? During his own show.
Yeah, I carried him. I felt like a pallbearer, like, just holding up his one leg on my shoulder. I hope someone got pictures of that, because that was fun.
I don't think anybody did.
Yeah, that's good. Anyway, but yeah, rock the gyro. Sunday was my birthday.
Do you feel older?
Yeah, dude. I fucking bent down to get some today. My whole back seized up, and I had to like play it off for a customer. Like, it sucked. It was brutal. But I went up to Cleveland. Hung with young CJ Wellock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because he moved up there now. He's up in Lakewood.
Really?
And he showed me some dope bars. Good. I went to High and By, I think, or High and Low, something like that. Played mini bowling.
Oh, shit.
That was dope.
That's fun.
It's like a bunch of bowling pins, and you use like a ski ball type thing to knock them down, and you get 3 frames per like thing. That was dope. And then we went to a 16-bit arcade, which was pretty cool.
I saw that. Yeah. That looked fun.
Yeah, it was dope. It was a good day.
Cool.
A good day. And then here we are. So
glad you had a good birthday.
Yeah, thanks, man. But I do feel older. I don't like it. Anyway. On to the card. Let's take it from the bottom.
All right. So in the first fight, we had Devin Clark going up against Alexander Rakic.
Whoa! Alexander Rakic, actually the biggest favorite on this card, on the entire card.
That was very surprising.
Yeah. Honestly, he was like, what, negative 800, I think? Something crazy. But Devin Clark said, no, don't count me out, and came out swinging. He caught Rakic several times in that very first round. And I was like, damn, Devin Clark's got it. He's going to get this done. But Alexander Rakic said, no, I'm the favorite for a reason.
And it was a TKO victory for Alexander Rakic. He landed a fucking just mean punch, ended up getting the TKO victory 4 minutes and 5 seconds into the very first round.
He's nice.
Yeah. Moving on to the second fight in the lightweight division.
We had Diego Ferreira going up against Kyle Nelson.
Yeah. So Slim and I both picked Carlos Diego Ferreira, and we were correct. He was just the better fighter, fighting UFC newcomer Kyle Nelson. Just not too much of a chance there for Kyle Nelson. Diego Ferreira dominated the fight, ended up getting the TKO victory via punches, 1 minute and 23 seconds into the second round.
Yeah. On to the next fight, we had Chad Laprise going up against Diego Lima. Now, Diego Lima was 0-3 in the UFC coming into this fight. And Chad, mm-hmm. I can't remember if he was a new... I don't think he's a newcomer. He's been there a while.
Who, Chad Laprise?
Yeah,
he's fought 10 times. That was his 10th okay. fight in
yeah,
the
UFC.
Yeah,
what am I saying? He looks like someone else. Oh, he looks like Gokhan Sagi. That's why I'm thinking that. Doesn't he? A little bit. Anyway, Diego Lima getting it done, getting his very first
win.
By
the way, Diego
Lima
had won one fight in the UFC.
Did he? I thought he lost all three. Okay. Diego Lima getting it done in the very first round.
Yeah. He got his first UFC victory since 2014.
Damn.
1-2 since he came back for his second stint in the UFC. And now Chad Laprise has fell to 8-2 in welterweight fights in his career, including 3-2 in the UFC. All three of his career stoppages have been by knockout. So,
really?
Tough loss for Chad Laprise and a great comeback for Diego Lima. Glad to see him get back in the win column. Diego Lima with the first round knockout, 1 minute and 37 seconds into the very first round. Hell yeah, brother. Moving on to the bantamweight division.
Is Chad Canadian?
Chad Laprise, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say Brad Katona was the first Canadian fighter on the card, but he was not.
Wrong.
Anyway, as you said, in the bantamweight division, we had Ultimate Fighter winner Brad Katona going up against Matthew Lopez.
Yeah, Matthew Lopez has struggled in the UFC, 2-3 coming into this fight in the UFC, but we knew what it was, man.
Brad Katona,
yeah.
Man.
I mean, we told people it was going to be now this should have been like one of the like bigger, like Brad Katona being one of the favorites, like I can see that, like, yeah. One of the highest favorites.
Brad's a dog.
Yeah, he gets it done, man. He's one to watch out for in that bantamweight division. That bantamweight division's filling up with a lot of talent.
For sure. I really like him.
Yeah, Brad Katona defeated Matthew Lopez via unanimous decision, 30-27, 29-28, 29-28, and great victory for him. That was the early preliminary card on UFC Fight Pass.
On to the prelims, we had the pretty boy Elias Theodorou going up against Eric Anders. I think we both got this fight wrong.
Yeah, we both picked Eric Anders. What a meteoric rise and just a huge fall for Eric Anders.
I mean, that sucks.
Coming into that Lyoto Machida fight, I mean, they had him kind of built up to be the next big thing in the middleweight division. And
now ending the year 0-3 in his last three.
Yeah, I mean, well, no. Oh, he beat Tim Williams with that head kick.
Oh, that's right, after Lyoto.
Yeah, so he's lost to Elias Theodorou, Thiago Santos, and Lyoto Machida in three of his last four fights. Just a really tough 2018 after a remarkable 2017 for Eric Anders.
But you gotta remember, he's very new to the sport. I think he can bounce back from this, especially with the experience he's been gaining with these guys. Like, Elias is one of the trickiest dudes in the UFC.
Right.
His movement in this fight was just insane. He's just bouncing back and forth, cutting these angles.
That's what he does.
Yeah, and Eric looked very stationary, like he was just waiting for him to play in his feet so he could rush in, but it was not happening. Mm-mm.
So Elias Theodorou with a great performance, getting himself the victory over Eric Anders, and that was a split decision. Two judges had it 29-28, I think rightfully so, for Elias Theodorou, and one judge had it 29-28 for Eric Anders. I went for Theodorou in this one.
Yeah, same. On to the next fight. In the women's flyweight division, we had number 3 ranked Kaitlyn Chookagian going up against Jessica Evil Eye.
Our girl.
Yes.
Man.
Dude, look fantastic. She looks completely different when she's in the cage than she does when she's just like walking around like on Instagram
just
or whatever.
Chilling, yeah.
Dude, her fucking boxing stance is so tight. Like, yeah. She looks like she's going to spring out in any second.
That's our girl, man. She is now 3-0 since she went down to that women's flyweight division.
Down. Sorry. We did that last week too.
In January.
Right.
What a great 2018 for Jessica Evil Eye.
Yes.
Dude.
Stipe was in attendance in the front row.
Yeah. I mean, this is exactly where she belongs in this division, and if she keeps this up, maybe wins one or two more, I think Valentina Shevchenko is going to have her next challenger.
Yikes. I don't know about that one.
Why?
Because Valentina.
Yeah, Valentina's scary, but who better to go in there and upset her than a Cleveland girl?
This is true. Don't count them out.
So, Jessica, I... Now has three victories in the flyweight competition, which are most in divisional history.
Yeah, already.
So there's her
argument. They just made it.
There's her argument for her UFC title shot.
For sure, for sure. More than the champion.
All three of those have been by decision. Caitlin Chookagian just got her first loss in the UFC flyweight division. I mean, just goes to show this is Jessica Eye's division where she belongs.
So. Definitely.
Caitlin Chookagian has now lost both of her career losses by split decisions.
Wow.
That hurts.
That sucks.
But yeah, dude, Jessica Evil Eye.
I did have Jessica winning that
fight. I do honestly think she's a top three flyweight in the world.
For sure. And that put a stamp on it.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what they give her next. Hopefully it's the big fight that she deserves. Jessica Evil Eye with the split decision victory, 29-28, 29-28. One judge had it 29-28 for Caitlin Chookagian. I do not agree with that.
No.
Great performance by Jessica Evil Eye. Moving on to the lightweight division.
We had Olivier Aubin-Mercier, the Canadian gangster, going up against Gilbert Burns.
Yeah. Wow. Didn't see this one coming too
much.
Not
at all. Not at all. They had this by decision. Was that a decision?
Yeah, it was a decision.
I thought it was a stoppage.
No. All right. Yeah, Gilbert Burns, man, just dominated Olivier Aubin-Mercier. Didn't see it coming at all, man.
Knocked him down a few times.
Yeah, he just controlled all aspects of the fight, really. And the judges ended up giving him 30-27, 30-27. One judge had it 29-28. I agree more with the 30-27. I think he won every round.
Yeah, honestly.
Just wow by Gilbert Burns.
Don't count him out, man.
No, dude. And, you know, he lost that last fight via knockout to Dan Hooker. But, you know, other than that, he usually gets it done, man. So we'll see what they're going to do next with Gilbert Burns. But a tough loss there for Olivier Aubin-Mercier, who, you know, had been trying to make some noise in that division and then lost that last fight to Alexander Hernandez. Just on a little bit of a skid right now. We'll see if he can come back. But other than that, a very good fight to watch. And Olivier Aubin-Mercier has lost all of his loss. Like, all of his losses are by decision.
Damn.
Never been stopped.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that one. Moving on to the next fight in the women's strawweight division.
This one kind of took me by surprise.
Wow.
We had Claudia Gadelha up against Nina Ansaroff.
Yeah.
Dude, and, man, I thought Claudia was going to take over, but
yeah, me too.
She couldn't get her start off.
I also would have had Claudia Gadelha as one of the biggest favorites on the card.
For sure.
And Nina Ansaroff, dude, she has been on a tear. Four fights in a row she's won now. And with a win over Claudia Gadelha, wow. I mean, Claudia, she usually only loses to the best of the best.
Right.
Joanna, Jessica Andrade, and now Nina Ansaroff. So,
who is now on a 5-fight winning streak, I believe.
Nina?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nina is, I think it's a 4-fight winning streak. Okay. So, dude, she's been tearing it up. She hasn't lost since 2016. Or, I'm sorry. Yeah, her last loss was in 2016. But, dude, looked great in
dude,
there.
Dude, looked nice.
Probably so, you know, she's engaged to Amanda Nunes. Do they just like train with each other? Do you know?
I would assume.
Yeah.
Right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure that really helps her.
For sure.
And just, you know, being with Amanda Nunes, that's a bad girl.
That's a baddie. On to the pay-per-view main card. The very first fight of the night. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. We had poster boy Jimmy Manoa going up against Thiago. I'll take this fucking hammer off my chest and beat you over the head with his Santos. Boy, did he.
Oh, my goodness.
This fight was back and forth from the get-go. Santos putting Jimmy on his knees very quickly. I don't think Jimmy has the right boxing for MMA.
Nah.
Not anymore.
If you guys do remember, I said last week, Jimmy Manoa struggles against big punchers.
But you still picked him.
And I still picked him. And that was my demise because it was his chin that gave way. And I didn't know Jimmy Manoa was... He went to jail for being in a burglary ring in 2002.
Shit.
That's pretty deep.
All right. But yeah, man. Thiago Santos, I think he's also found his home at the 205-pound division.
Yeah, definitely. He looks like he belongs there. 2-0 in that division now.
And even seeing him, he looked bigger than Jimmy Manuel when they faced off.
Yeah.
How does he cut 20 more pounds than that?
Crazy, dude.
Insane. So, even Eric Anders looked huge at 185, but he also looked big at 205. It's just very odd how they do that.
We'll see. Maybe this is exactly where he belongs at the 205-pound division. So he's been doing great. You know, he is one of the most active fighters in MMA, so we'll see the quick turnaround for Thiago Santos.
For sure.
We'll see if he can keep this terror going in the light heavyweight division. I mean, that's a bad dude.
Right.
Moving on to the featherweight division. Oh, and that was 41 seconds into the second round. That got him $50,000, a performance of the night bonus.
Yeah. On to the featherweight division. As you mentioned, we had Kakeem Duwadu going up against Kyle Crash Bochniak.
Yeah, this was a really competitive fight.
For sure.
Now, the scores are what have me confused. It was a competitive fight, but Kakeem Duwadu definitely controlled the fight.
Yeah.
So two judges had it 30-27 for Kakeem Duwadu. Very understandable. One judge had it 29-28 for Kyle Bochniak.
What? Silly, dude. Who is this one judge?
I don't know, but that's just not good, man. I mean, I can see maybe giving him one round, but saying that he won the fight, that's just, I mean, it was pretty blatant that Kakeem Duwadu was controlling the fight and the better fighter.
Right.
Just a very, very weird scorecard there. But Kakeem Duwadu with a very impressive performance over a tough fighter in Kyle Bochniak. We'll see what's next for both of these young featherweight prospects. This next fight, though, was... Whoa!
Yeah, this one I did pick wrong. I had Cowboy Alex Oliveira beating Gunnar Nelson at his comeback fight. But I was wrong.
Yeah, I picked Gunny, bro, because it's just... That man's ground game.
I forgot how good he was. After not seeing him for so long, I forgot.
Dude, he had Alex Oliveira leaking.
He had to get 28 stitches.
Oof.
It looked like, what's those old knives from World War I that were shaped like a triangle?
like
that were so hard to stitch up and they banned them after World War I? You know what I'm talking about? It looked like a star, like it was a three-pointed knife. And they banned him because it's impossible to stitch up. That's what it looked like on his forehead.
Right.
Like, it was disgusting. If you haven't seen this, Google Alex Oliveira cut. Like, it is...
It's fucked up.
28 stitches in his forehead.
It was deep, dude.
So, needless to say, we probably won't be seeing Alex Oliveira for a little while.
Definitely getting a medical suspension, but what a great performance by Gunny Nelson, who ended up securing the rear naked choke 4 minutes and 17 seconds into the second round.
After blistering him with some elbows.
Right.
My God.
Just a great performance by Gunny. Looked great all over the mat everywhere.
Yeah, man. On to the first title fight of the night. We had Valentina Shevchenko going up against Joanna Jędrzejczyk for the women's vacant flyweight title.
Yeah, and Valentina was definitely just the bigger, better fighter.
No, I mean, both look good in this division. Valentina, too small for 135. Joanna, too big for 115. Both look great, but it was pretty clear who won.
Valentina was definitely just the better fighter, man. She controlled it. She only lost one round the entire fight, and she's, as everybody knew, the best 125-pound women's fighter in the world.
And I think she's going to hold this belt for a very long time.
She's going to be comparable to Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson in her title defenses.
I would agree.
Yeah, so Valentina Shevchenko defeated Joanna Jędrzejczyk 49-46 all across the board for the judges. Unbelievable, man. She does it again.
Right.
Moving on.
Who's stopping that girl?
Nobody. So... Moving on to possibly the most hyped up featherweight title fight of all time.
Definitely
top three. Arguably, I'd say it's number two right behind McGregor Aldo.
Mm-hmm. Had to be.
Max Holloway, the champion, going up against Brian Ortega, the undefeated challenger.
Max coming into this on a 12-fight win streak in the UFC. Brian Ortega was 14-0-1 going into this. No one really knew what was going to happen. It was either Max was going to outbox him completely and do what Max does, or Ortega was going to find an opening, take some damage early on, and get a submission. Mm-hmm. But in this fight, Ortega had no answer at all.
Max's hands were just immaculate.
Dude, like, he put all the doubters to bed. Mm-hmm. Everyone saying, oh, what about his health issues? Is he going to be healthy?
Bro, shut that shit up.
Best Max has ever looked.
Definitely.
He landed the most significant strikes in a round in UFC history on the third round.
Yeah, I mean...
And people say Ortega won that round.
So, I mean, I think Ortega won. It was either the second or third round. I can't remember too vividly right now, but... Ortega did win one of the rounds. He even almost caught Max on the ground. It was close, but Max luckily got out of it.
Right. It was the third round.
Listen to some of these numbers. Max Holloway landed 290 significant strikes. That is a new single fight UFC record.
For sure.
Most significant strikes ever. He landed 134 significant strikes in round four, which is a new single round UFC record, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Holloway and Ortega combined for 400 significant strikes landed. That's a new single UFC fight record.
Wow.
Max Holloway with 1,627 significant strikes in the UFC is now the most in company history.
I thought he didn't beat Bisping yet.
Most in company history.
Wow.
So, as Slim mentioned, he was on a 12-fight win streak. He now extended that career-high winning streak to 13 fights. He hasn't lost since 2013.
Crazy. And he now ties GSP for the longest winning streak.
How old was Max Holloway in 2013? 21 years old?
Yeah.
Like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Max Holloway's 13-fight winning streak in UFC competitions now tied with John Jones, George St. Pierre, and Demetrius Johnson, who are behind the longest in company history, which is Anderson Silva.
That's 16. I think he beats that.
Which brings me to my declaration. Max Holloway is... one right now, at this current moment, a top 10 of all time fighter.
Yes.
In the next 4 years, Max Holloway is possibly going to become the best fighter of all time.
I would have to agree. I mean,
he's 26 years old.
Yeah, dude.
He's younger than Brian Ortega, the challenger that came in.
Right. His overall swagger, his just attitude,
His fighting mind, bro. His IQ is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean,
the way he was coming in and switching stances and slipping out of punches. I mean, every single time they showed an Ortega highlight or a Max highlight, you could see Ortega was trying to counter, and Max was just like literally an inch away mm-hmm. every time he would move.
And just look perfect. Look at the names that Max Holloway has beaten. I think that puts him right up there with John Jones, Demetrius Johnson, Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre, whoever you want to say it is, that he's right up there for greatest of all time.
Better than Jose?
Better than Jose, by far.
Woo!
By far, not even touchable.
I think he just needs a couple more title defenses and then I'll be there.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's just going to put a stamp on it. Yeah. But, I mean, as of right now, just look what he's done.
Right.
And I haven't even... listen to some more of these numbers. His 13 fight winning streak is obviously most active right now out of all the UFC fighters. His 12th UFC fight featherweight winning streak is the longest in that division. His 15 UFC featherweight victories are most in divisional history. Definitely better than Jose. Wow. He has 10 stoppage victories in the UFC featherweight division, most in history. His 8 knockouts, most in divisional history.
Wow.
I mean, he now has 7.
The list goes on.
He now has 7 fight night bonuses in the featherweight division, tied with Cub Swanson for most in divisional history. And Brian Ortega, unfortunately, you know, suffers his very first loss in his young career, but I think he'll be back. I think he's a perennial top contender.
He's still top 5 for sure.
Definitely.
So who's next for Max? Moicano? Another little tidbit. Renato Moicano came into the weigh-ins to be a backup fighter in case something happened with Max or Ortega. This fight was going to continue no matter what.
I didn't know that.
And Moicano missed championship weight.
They just weighed him for no reason?
Yeah, they did that with Usman, too, with Woodley Till.
Really?
Yeah. Just as like a backup, like, okay, you're not fighting him. But, Moicano, the backup, missed weight, which is wild.
Yeah, I mean, the next in line's got to be Moicano or Chad Mendes.
I want to see Moicano. I think he's earned it.
Honestly, we could just have those two fight for top contender.
Yeah, why not?
Make that fight. Let Max rest
Max
up.
Against Chad would be nasty.
That'd be a good fight. But really, I mean, everybody else in that division, Max Holloway is just running.
Yeah, I don't even see anyone close.
I mean, we're going to have right now, I think the top like three threats to it have to be like Moicano, Mendez, and then Alexander Volkanovski. He's one to watch out for.
Maybe Edgar. I mean, if Edgar can get a couple wins together, he's never fought him.
You know, Yair Rodriguez.
Zabit, bro. We forgot about Zabit.
We got Zabit tearing up.
Shit.
But not right now.
No.
Zabit needs to beat like Josh Emmett or, that's Jeremy Stevens, something like that.
That's another year in the making.
Right. But, obviously that's going to be Max's biggest test when that does happen.
Yeah. Wow, dude. Max Holloway, man. Fuck.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that declaration. I think Max Holloway's, I'll go out and say it, top five of all time.
Yeah, I mean, this honestly was probably the best title fight I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
It was just
so enjoyable. I was freaking out watching this thing. I was just like, oh!
Just unstoppable action. It was just so fun. It's just so cool to see Max Holloway. He's got his son.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. He's got his son. Like, he has on straight soundproof shit. Like, he can't hear anything, bro. He's just sitting there watching his dad. Mm-hmm. Can't hear anything but his own thoughts. Like,
right.
And he's like crying. Did you see they like showed the video? Like, they like the camera. They were sitting there talking about like Max Holloway's son, and then the camera went to him, and dude, look. His son looked distraught.
Are you serious? Like, I didn't see that.
He was sitting there watching, looking like that's so sad. Like,
that's scary.
And Joe Rogan was like, oh my gosh, his poor son. Like, said that on the broadcast.
But he was winning.
I know, but still just watching that, dude. Watching your dad just in a war like that. That's got to be some crazy.
Damn, how old is he? Like six?
Something like that, yeah. Got to be like five or six.
Damn, son. And then he broke the Drake curse.
Yeah.
Because he met Drake before the fight, and everyone's like, oh, if you meet Drake, you lose.
Yeah.
Well, he broke that. Something else that has been mentioned, Dana White says he wants Max to jump up to 155.
Mm-hmm.
He says the weight cut's too much for him anymore. Well, he didn't have a single problem in this. He had a problem when he tried to cut for Khabib in like 2 weeks.
Right.
From
understandable.
From chilling 185 pounds weight. Like, what? But who would you want to see Max against at 155?
It's got to be Khabib. If we're not are you saying like if we don't do a title fight?
Yeah, if it's not a title
fight. If he's just like moving up?
Yeah, just like Anderson Silva did. Just go up and fight a top five just because.
I just don't even like that because it's just already so clogged up. And we got Dana talking about how we might do like a Khabib versus Tony Ferguson, Conor versus Dustin Poirier, like mini tournament type thing. Like
I like that though.
Yeah, me too, but it's just like it's so clogged up. I mean, I guess like... If Kevin Lee wins this weekend, maybe Kevin Lee versus Max Holloway, but like, no. It's just stupid. Keep him at featherweight where he belongs.
If Khabib gets a suspension from, first of all, the hearing that was supposed to happen with him and Connor on Sunday got postponed again. They gave him longer times to come back and have their sentencing. It's now not going to be until January where we find out if they get a suspension or not. So give me Max Tony. If Khabib gets suspended.
I mean, I like that. I love that fight.
Nasty, dude.
I love that fight.
My God. Because Tony's got cardio for days, and Max, as you can see, doesn't stop.
Would that be for an interim?
Have to be.
But so then if Tony... Max wins that, is he still considered champ? It's just
then it would
he's like a champ and a half.
Yeah.
1.5 championships.
Yeah, that would like blemish. He couldn't even call himself a champ. He'd have to beat Khabib. And then he could see he had three belts. I don't know. But yeah, man, Max Holloway looking amazing. I do want to see him at 155, but just not right now. Just keep doing what you're doing, dude.
It just needs to get unclogged. Once there's some clarity in that division, maybe send him up there. But just right now, it's not the right time.
Right. As you mentioned, Dustin Poirier is actually calling for the fight with Tony Ferguson because the division is so clogged and they can't figure out what's going on.
Yeah, Dustin Poirier just wants to get things moving, which I feel it, dude. Jeez.
Right. Trying to feel it. All right. As you mentioned, Kevin Lee is fighting Al Iaquinta this weekend for the second time. The first time they fought, Kevin Lee was like... Pfft, 21. He just entered the UFC or something like that. And Ally Quinta had already started to establish himself as a top competitor in that division. So they're going to run it back. They're now in the top 10, both of them. And let's take it from the bottom.
So in the very first fight, what do you have, Slim?
Chris De La Rocha against Juan Adams, who I'm very looking forward to this fight. I'm guessing you don't.
Oh, yeah. I am. I'm looking forward to it.
No, I mean, you don't have this as your first fight, I mean.
No, I do.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So Juan Adams, we saw him on the Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, and I follow him on Instagram. Dude, he cuts from like 190.
Kind of, or got 290. A, kind of got a mini call out from Jeff Hughes on our show. Just yeah? saying.
What do you mean? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought you meant just now. Thank you. yeah, Juan Adams, like I said, cuts from 290 to 265. He's a big dude. Definitely. Chris De La Rocha is also pretty big. He's 6'3", 250, and he is 5-2. Juan Adams is 4-0. The Kraken, I do have him winning this fight.
Juan Adams?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Chris De La Rocha won his last fight versus Rashad Coulter. Before that, was on a 2-fight losing streak, 1-2 in the UFC. I think he's going to drop this one to the UFC newcomer. ANA MMA going with Juan Adams in this one.
Indeed. In the next fight, we got Trevor Hot Sauce Smith going up against Zach Cummings. Zach Cummings, has he always been at 185? Or did he just drop?
Give me 1 second on that.
He must have just dropped.
Zach Cummings.
Right? Am I tripping? I thought.
No, he's always fought at welterweight.
Huh, who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Oh, the other dude with the crazy mustache.
Oh, Pat Cummins?
Yeah. Damn it. I wonder if they're related. Anyway.
One's Cummins, the other one's Cummings.
Oh, okay. Both fighters coming off losses in their last fights. Trevor Smith is the submission specialist in this.
Been in the UFC for so long.
Right? Give me Trevor Smith.
Really?
Yeah, hot sauce. No. Yeah, give me Zach Cummings.
Yeah, ANA MMA.
Really?
ANA MMA going to go with Zach Cummings in this one.
In the next fight, we got Keaton Adam Milstead going up against
him. Jeez.
I'll never stop calling him that. Going up against newcomer Mike Rodriguez.
You're evil.
Jesus. This fight will be at 205 pounds. Mike Rodriguez coming off Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. I don't remember his fight in that.
He actually fought Devin Clark at UFC 223, Khabib versus Ally Quinta.
Oh, didn't know that. Okay.
But yeah, he did fight on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, where he won with a flying knee over Jamel Jones. That 0-1 in the UFC currently, going up against a pretty tough opponent here in Keaton. Even though Keaton did lose his last fight, had that overturn. Remember, Curtis Blaydes got caught with marijuana back in 2017. That was Adam Milstead that he had beaten in that fight.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
He
fought a heavyweight? Why?
Who? Adam Milstead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is at 205, though, right?
Yeah. His last fight versus Jordan Johnson was his light heavyweight debut.
Shit. I don't know. Give me Milstead.
ANA MMA going to disagree with this one. Slim's going with Adam Milstead. I'm going to go with Mike Rodriguez.
Ooh.
That was the early preliminary card on UFC Fight Pass.
This is a lot of prelim fights. In the very first fight on the prelims, we got Dan Ige going up against Jordan Griffin. I just found out Dan Ige is also a manager.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, I didn't know that. Manages other fighters and shit. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so Jordan, two Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series alumni. This is going to be Mr. Jordan, the native Psycho Griffin's very first fight in the UFC coming out of Rufus Sport. I guess he's been, you know, pretty hyped up on the regional circuit for a really long time. And finally getting his chance here against...
What's his record?
17-5.
Nice.
And a really tough draw, though, against Dan Ige. Dynamite Dan. Oh.
Dynamite Dan. Give me the newcomer.
Wow.
I'm going out of pocket this week.
I'm going to go on the other side here. I'm going to go with Dan Dynamite Ige, training with Khabib. Come on, bro.
Oh, does he? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So, ANA MMA going to disagree on this one. Slim is going with the Native Psycho, Jordan Griffin. I'm going with Dan, Dynamite Iggy.
In the next fight at 185 pounds, we have Gerald Meerschaert going up against Jack Hermanson.
Ooh, this is a good one.
Yeah, I like this. Hermanson, the Swede, comes in with a 17-4 record. Most of its wins coming by TKO, whereas Meerschaert, most of its wins have come by submission.
Mm-hmm. But Jack Hermanson struggles. Both of his losses in the UFC to big punchers, Cesar Ferreira, Thiago Santos. Back when he fought in Bellator, he suffered a split decision loss and gotten a triangle choke. This is a tough fight for him. Gerald Meerschaert, been tearing it up last two fights. Beat Eric Spicely, Oscar Piachota. Both of these guys have lost to Thiago Santos, so I got to go with Gerald Meerschaert in this one.
I'm going to go with Hermanson.
ANA MMA going to disagree again. Slim's going with Jack Hermanson. I'm going with Gerald Meerschaert.
After our most agreed on card last week.
Yeah, super disagreeing. Oh, shit, we skipped a fight. I let you fucking fuck me up.
Who?
In the very first fight on the preliminary card is going to be Jesse Rose Clark versus Andrea Lee.
Oh, that's number one? They're both ranked. Weird. Jesse Rose Clark, one of my favorite Aussie fighters. Well, one of my favorite women fighters in general, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Going up against KGB Lee. Angela Lee has looked crazy dominant in the 125-pound division. But so is Jesse Rose Clark. She got that win over... Oh, who'd she win? Paige Van Zandt. Coming off that loss against Jessica Ai, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. I don't know. I really like Jesse Rose Clark, but I don't know if I can pick against KGB. Who do you got?
This is going to be a tough one, but I'm going with Andrea KGB Lee.
I'll do the same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're going with Andrea Lee.
All right.
In the next fight,
we got Jared Flash Gordon going up against Joaquim Silva.
Yeah.
Ooh, this dude looks fucking ripped.
Joaquim Silva, who is a four-fight UFC veteran, started out 3-0 and then lost his last fight to Vince Pichel. This is going to be a really good fight, man. I don't really know who to pick because I know Jared Gordon. He gets it done, too. He lost against Carlos Diego Ferreira in his last fight, which was only his second fight back at lightweight. I'm going to go with Joaquim Silva in this one.
I'm going to go with Jared Gordon.
Oh, wow. ANA MMA disagreeing again. Slim's going with Jared Flash Gordon. I'm going with Joaquim Silva.
This next fight is a banger. Bobby Green going up against Drakkar Klose. Or is it Klose? Klose. Yeah, it's Klose. Anyway, Bobby Green, the former Bellator fighter, finally got a win in the UFC. Or was that the other one? Was that Desmond Green? Who am I thinking of?
Well, I didn't even hear what you said.
The guy's first win in the UFC recently? I thought he went to PFL. Who am I thinking of?
Bobby Green's been in the UFC for a while.
I don't know who I'm thinking of then. Anyway, Drakkar Klose is a scary man. I'm picking him.
Yeah, ANA MMA going with Drakkar Klose in this one.
In the next fight, we have
the featured bout of the preliminary card. We have Zach Attow going up against UFC newcomer Dwight Clark. Or, I'm sorry, Grant. Dwight Grant.
The body snatcher. Ew, I remember him on Contender Series.
Yeah.
He's scary.
Fighting out of the American Kickboxing Academy, a.k.a. He only lost his second fight ever before that. After that, he hasn't lost since. He won on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series with an impressive punch. Oh, man. I think I'm going to go with the UFC newcomer, dude. He's an explosive dude. We know that Zach Attow kind of, struggles against better fighters such as Sage Northcutt, Li Jinglong, Sergio Moraes. I think Dwight Grant's going to be something to watch out for.
Same.
ANA MMA going with Dwight Grant. And that's your preliminary card on Fox Sports 1.
On to the main card. God, this main card's stacked. We got Jim Miller in the very first fight of the night going up against Charles Oliveira.
Very first fight of the night.
Of the main card. Thank you. Charles Oliveira holds the record for the most submissions ever in UFC.
The Bronx.
And Jim Miller is quite the submission artist himself. Who did he last beat? Didn't he get a nice knockout?
Charles Oliveira. I mean, both of these guys have literally fought the best of the best. Jim Miller snapped his 4-fight losing streak finally against Alex White, which was a very impressive fight. But I think this is DuBronx time.
I gotta go to Bronx.
ANA MMA going with Charles Oliveira in this one. In the next fight,
we have Rob Font going up against Sergio Pettis at 135 pounds. Yikes! This is a slapper. Both fighters coming off a loss in their last fight. Mm-hmm. Sergio Pettis recently moving up to 135, as I mentioned, from flyweight. Since they're a
bantamweight. He has fought at bantamweight before, though.
Yeah. Man, I don't know.
He's actually never lost at bantamweight.
Ooh. Either way, I got to go with Rob Font.
ANA MMA going to agree with this one. We're both going with Rob Font in this one.
In the third fight. Oh, the co-main event. Oh, there's only four.
Wow. Rob Font's nickname's Times New Roman. I'm done.
Bold italic. Oh, my God. All right, on to the co-main event of the night. God, this is such a good fight. I cannot wait for this one. Number 5, Edson Barboza going up against Dan the Hangman Hooker.
Shit.
He called him out, and he got it.
Shit.
Wow. The New Zealander, who is 4-fight win streak in the UFC?
Yeah.
Wow.
Against all by stoppage, too. Two knee knockouts, one guillotine, and a punch versus Gilbert Burns, man.
Yikes.
Oh.
Man, I gotta go with the Hangman on this, though.
Really?
I think he's gonna shock everyone.
Wow. I'm gonna go ahead and have to go with the man who's currently on a 2-fight losing streak, Edson Barboza.
Nice.
I just think, you know, he's perennially one of the best lightweights in the world.
No, I'm not saying he's not. I just think it's Hooker's time.
But I'm glad we have 5 lightweight division fights on this card. So we just talked about how there's a little bit of clogging.
A log jam.
That'll get kind of figured out here with this next fight.
For sure.
Kevin Lee versus Ally Aquinta 2.
I like this. Both fighters coming off a loss. And they're like, wait, Kevin Lee is? Who's he lose against?
Kevin Lee? He lost. He beat Edson Barboza. He lost to Tony Ferguson, though.
It says his last fight was a loss, and so does Ally Aquinta. He won, too.
No.
Dumb.
Kevin Lee beat Edson Barboza by Dr. Stoppage.
Strange. Anyway, Kevin Lee will have 7 inches of reach. Mm-hmm. God. As I mentioned, both these fighters have fought before. It was early on in Kevin Lee's career. It was actually his first fight in the UFC. Ally Aquinta has been in there a long time, man.
He's beat some names, too. Jorge Masvidal. Diego Sanchez, Joe Lozon, Ross Pearson beat Kevin Lee that first time.
Damn, I don't know. I think Kevin Lee has improved exponentially in his fighting style, and I'm going to pick him in this.
Kevin Lee going to be agreed on here by ANA MMA. I think Kevin Lee's going to be able to get this one done over Reginal Iaquinta. And that's going to be UFC on Fox, Lee versus Iaquinta 2. This is taking place at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah, man.
And then we all know what the card after this is. Bless you.
The big one.
Jones versus Gustafson.
John Jones.
So, we'll go ahead and let you guys know next week how the results went down. Kind of let you know how we did on our picks, especially since we disagreed so much. I'll give you guys our records on our picks next week. And, you got any news?
Yes. Daniel Cormier was named number 3 ESPN most dominant sports competitor in the world.
Hell yeah. Like, I agree.
Awesome for 2018. That is awesome. He beat LeBron James. He beat basketball players. He beat football players. He beat baseball players.
What a great 2018 for Daniel Cormier.
Literally. Like, wow. That is so cool. As I mentioned before we were recording, Nick Diaz went on his either Snapchat or Instagram to say, hey, fuck the UFC. I fuck with Bellator. Scott Coker's a G. At least they pay me more. But then later went on to say, I still got to fight. So I don't know what's going to happen there. They haven't officially announced, I don't believe, him fighting Jorge Masvidal, but that's been the talks at 170.
I can see a Diaz brother in the... Well, if one goes, the other one's going to go, but I can see one of them going to Bellator and the other one following.
It'd fucking shine over there. Scott Coker would suck their dicks until he did whatever they wanted him to.
Until the skid came off.
Ew. I don't really... Oh, John Jones was finally granted a license to compete in MMA.
Nice.
He had his Nevada State Athletic Commission hearing today, actually.
Hell yeah. Glad he's back.
Right. So he will officially be fighting next week.
What's the name of this episode? We don't really have one.
No.
About the top story,
Mark? Oh, fuck. I totally forgot that, Sean.
The top story?
Oh, my gosh. Sean, this was tagged to me or sent to me by our own CEO of Lousy Weather Media, Sean Ast. Make sure you follow him also on Twitter at Sean Ast. It's Sean _Ast, actually. But yeah, he tagged me and said, found the lead story for A&A MMA this week. This was tweeted by Robbie from Barstool. So Dana White posted a gymnastics highlight on his Instagram, and a commenter wrote on there and said, stop being LOL, so thirsty, Dana, come on. Dana White replied, I'm watching American Dad.
What? Yeah, wait, the picture.
It was a video of just like a...
Oh, yeah, I seen the whole thing.
Yeah.
She was working it. But I watched an American Dad. Why did he say that?
Makes no sense.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. Typical Dana White fashion. Just letting you know, he likes Roger.
But, yeah. Thanks to Sean Ast for that leading story of the week.
For the lead. I got Super Smash Bros. That's pretty cool. And that's about all the news I have.
So we'll see you guys next week.
Yes, sir. Adios.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.